This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
You are listening to Bent Notes on Joy 94.9. My name is David Moyle. Another thing to tell you is that an Australian musician who went to school in Blackburn and who has been active and recognised for the past 20 years, he's a musician who's recognised for his playing of the tenor sax and someone who appears on over 50 CDs. He's a recipient of a number of prestigious awards, both personally and as part of a number of other bands, and described by Adrian Jackson, the artistic director of the Wangaratta Festival of Jazz and Blues, as having a level of maturity and storytelling quality that places him proudly in the lineage of such great tenor balladeers as Lester Young, Dexter Gordon, John Coltrane, who we just heard from, Stan Getz and Joe Lovano. My guest in the studio tonight is Julian Wilson.
David, how are you? Thanks for having me on.
Our pleasure to have you here in studio, Julian. Thank you for taking some time out of your busy schedule. We understand that you are performing tonight and you've just been up there and nicked back down
here. I've just dropped my stuff off, yeah. Well, luckily it's about 4 minutes walk away, I think.
Which is good.
So which is fabulous.
What time do you have to be on stage?
8 o'clock. It's an early show tonight.
8 o'clock, so we've got to finish by at least 7:55.
That'd be great.
I think we'll get over a little bit early. We'll let you walk rather than run.
That'd be good.
Now, Adrian compares you to some great jazz tenor saxophonists.
That's a nice quote, isn't it?
It's a beautiful quote. Mm. What do you feel when you hear that type of comment being made about your versatility and quality of performance?
We can't feel bad about that.
Definitely not.
It's fabulous. And from Adrian, I know Adrian knows a lot of music and has extensively listened to all those people. So the fact that hopefully put one of my records on after one of those records is magic. It was beautiful walking in and hearing the Coltrane Quartet tonight because I love that band. And that sort of era of Train too, it's very quite intense, a lot of it. But to hear him still play a ballad at that time, still play just one note, it's beautiful.
It was a beautiful feel.
It's amazing.
And we had just heard Swailing.
And not many people have understood that title. I was actually looking up a word that means to compress things to their essence. A friend, Dale Cox, who's a beautiful artist, gave me this album cover. And in looking up that word, I found basically means burning off. But the album cover is Bushland Burning.
It makes sense now.
It does make sense, doesn't it? It's confused a number of people.
I do love the picture. It's a beautiful image.
It's a beautiful painting. Dale Cox is a picture. Melbourne artist, yeah, who did that painting. He had an exhibition recently that I went to, and he has quite a few similar paintings to that. One of them looks like it'd light up the room if you turn all the lights off. It's quite astounding.
And there's other paintings within the album.
They're all part
itself.
Of that same painting, actually. Dale gave me a bunch to choose from, but they're all part of zoom-ins on that same painting, yeah.
There's such detail in there.
They're quite big pictures, actually. I've been a fan. We've been mutual fans for a long time, so when he offered me a piece to use on the album cover, I said I'd always wanted one. He said he'd always wanted to have one of his paintings on my cover, so it's worked out beautifully.
Oh, very much so.
I did talk about buying the painting from him, but then I realised I've got 1,000 of them at home. So.
You've got 1,000 of those paintings, although somewhat smaller than the original.
Somewhat smaller, yeah.
What is it, around about 5 inches in the
it's
old...
It's about 5 inches across, I think. Mm. I haven't actually measured the CD, but...
Inspirations for you, Julian? The players that Adrian compared you to, Lester Young, Dexter Gordon, John Coltrane, have they been inspirational
obviously,
for you?
Yeah, because I play the tenor saxophone, all those guys, all the early year of tenor saxophone, I mean, other ones would be Coleman Hawkins and Ben Webster, Stanley Turrentine, like, that's the sound I fell in love with. When I used to play the clarinet and I first heard the saxophone on the radio and started checking out these kind of players and managed to get myself a saxophone from just around the corner here, Bob Clemens Music Store.
Oh,
used
really?
To be around on Russell Street, just from around from where we're sitting. And
yeah.
I went and got my first sax there when I was about 14 and I just, a couple of tapes from Allen's down the road here and just used to play along with those kind of guys. So the other album I've just done is a ballads album, which is sort of an old-fashioned album in a way. That's kind of dedicated to the spirit of those, not to any of those people in particular, but the spirit of those old sessions from the 50s and 60s and even earlier.
And I think I read on that particular album that it was done live in studio.
Well, it was done, most of the recording I do is live in the sense that we just play the song and then what went down is, it's not like a pop album where you go and you put the drums down and then you put the bass down the next week and then put the vocals on top. And it's done live in the sense that what we played is what happened in the studio. But we did do it without without any headphones and without any rehearsal. We tried to keep everything very minimal and off the cuff and real.
I've listened to both albums, and they both have a relaxing aspect.
Oh, that's good.
To it, they're certainly not up tempo pop albums that you
they're
put
not
on
pop
to,
albums.
To dance
no, I haven't,
to or anything.
I haven't done the pop albums. I've done less relaxing albums than those ones, definitely in the past.
But these two are beautiful. Just sit back and relax.
Hopefully, that was kind of there wasn't really much of an objective with making them, but making something that people would enjoy listening to was one objective.
That's an excellent objective to have. Now, you said you started playing sax at 14?
Yeah, 14 I got my first saxophone.
And you just heard the sax on the radio and decided that you wanted to...
I heard it on the radio, and I saw it in the school band when I started high school, and when I was about 13, I guess, so it took a little while to pick one up. I borrowed and stole a couple of them, and I've recently started playing the clarinet again, but I didn't play it for about 25 years. So I just fell in love with the sound of the saxophone.
That's a big break from the clarinet.
It is a big break, yeah.
So did you start playing clarinet at school initially?
When did I start playing? I started playing outside of school, like a community band kind of thing, and I got a teacher, and I got my dad's old clarinet that he gave me to, and they hooked up a teacher, and then in the school bands and all that kind of stuff. And out on the street, I used to come and busk a lot.
Here in Melbourne?
In Bourke Street and Vic Market, and just sort of spend a lot of time playing outside. I think it's a really good way to develop a sound and an understanding of how people react to music as well.
That would be a very interesting aspect, actually. No doubt you get some people who just ignore and walk straight by, others who just hang around and listen.
Yeah, and others that get really upset by it. So you get a combination of everyone on the street. It's good.
Wow. I hope you got something out of it in terms of monetary...
I think the first time I did it, my money got taken by the... I don't know if they were policemen or council officers or someone came and took my money. But after that, I went and got a licence.
Oh, right. Okay.
I'm not sure if you still need a licence to busk in Melbourne. You did.
I think you do. So any chance that you'll go back to busking?
Occasionally I still play outside. I enjoy it. I enjoy the challenge of being out in the street and or out in public playing. I tend to play more in parks now and just... enjoy being outside rather than going out to make money as such.
Festivals and the like?
Well, festivals another thing because you're on a big stage outside, which is fabulous. But my daughter's 7. She's been trying to get me to take her busking.
Oh, has she now? What does she play?
She wants me to play and she'll get the money.
Oh, so she'll... Well, now, that sounds like a very good businesswoman growing up there. Did you think back when you were starting that your impact... eventually would be sufficient to have a review in the Wangaratta Festival by ozjazz.net as could have been renamed the Wangaratta Julian Festival?
No, I didn't consider that. I did have an embarrassment of gigs at the festival that year.
You were doing quite a few things,
weren't
you?
I did a lot of gigs at this show, yeah, it was great.
Did you enjoy doing so much?
I do. I enjoy the challenge of doing so much, and they were different projects and different. It wasn't like six gigs with the same band, so every one of them had a different aspect and different people in it, and I really enjoy that challenge of I don't really like to put on different hats, but I like to just go and see where the music takes me. But there's different music, different styles of music, different the way different people interact with each other I find really fascinating.
And you're able to experience that by being in so many bands up there.
That's good. When they're all close together like that, it's a challenge, yeah, because sometimes it's nice to get your headspace into one thing, like what I'm doing tonight or what I'm doing on Wednesday, or to have a little time to get my headspace into that. But when you've got a festival with a few gigs like that, which I've had at Wangaratta a few times, you might be playing 3 gigs in a day and they're all, you know, one's ballads, one's high-intensity music and one's totally free, or... runs trad jazz, or they're it's really interesting.
That would really get the brain working.
You've got to stay on your toes, yeah.
You would have to. You'd be worn out, I would imagine, by the end of the day.
Shattered.
Well, you would be. That's the time to go and sit back and relax yourself. The creativity that you have to show, obviously, in terms of doing multiple gigs in the one day, such as a festival, or putting the albums together, what drives it for you?
Oh, that's a good question. I just love playing music. I just love the feeling of playing music. I love the interaction of playing music with other people. I love sharing that with musicians and non-musicians in an audience. I love performing live in front of people. I'm not always the most comfortable person on a microphone. I wouldn't be really comfortable getting up doing stand-up, but sometimes when I get going, it's a bit hard to stop. So just to butt in if you like. But I just love playing music. I just love the spaces it can take you.
Do you find that if you're doing a couple of shows of the same repertoire, that it's the audience that makes a difference between shows?
Definitely the audience makes a big difference. It doesn't have to be a big audience. It just has to be an audience that are really getting involved in the music. I think that's what I mean by it. Often I think there's musicians in the audience who don't necessarily play an instrument, but you can feel that someone's musical by their response to it. The other great thing about playing the same band a few days in a row is the music changes from night to night. And sometimes you play two gigs a year with a band, and then when you play four or five shows in a row with the band, it really develops and becomes something else. It's really exciting.
You'd have that opportunity to link together.
Yeah, it's always a good time to record, actually, if you can do a season and then go in the studio.
We're talking to Julian Wilson here on Bent Notes on Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
We just had a piece of music from the Julian Wilson Trio called Farewell. Playing with Julian was Barney McCall on the piano. Julian, you tell me that Barney McCall was your first jazz cassette tape.
I had a tape my aunt gave me when I was 14, or just before, just after I got my saxophone, which is called It All Ends Up in Vince. It All Ends Up in Vince Jones. It All Ends Up in Tears by Vince Jones.
Right, okay.
You know that one. And Barney was a piano player on it, and Paul Williamson played sax. Had Steve Hadley, Tony Floyd, I think it was the first record Grabowski produced. So that was one I kind of grew up listening to that record a lot.
What a great introductory cassette to have.
It was magic.
Julian, we do need to let you go because you've got to get all the way back up there to Bennett's Lane. You've got a few things happening over the next week or so.
We've got a CD launch at Bennett's Lane on Easter Tuesday, which is the 22nd, with my trio, which is actually with piano, accordion and guitar, which I think we might hear another track of. The track we just heard was a quartet record, which we're performing at Melbourne Jazz Festival in June. But the trio record has actually been launched this month with a tour around the country, and Tuesday the 22nd we're playing at Bennett's Lane, and we've got a solo set at the start by Will Guthrie, who's a very old friend of mine. He's been living in France for a long time. He's a wonderful drummer. I know maybe solo drums may not seem appealing to everyone, but he's incredibly creative.
When you say solo drums, it sounds a bit boring.
It can sound a bit like a show-off kind of thing, but Will's very physical about the way he plays and very creative and very imaginative. And it's sort of anti... it's not showing off in any way. You know,
it's performing.
More getting deep inside himself and performing and playing something that's essential to him, rather than some sort of, you know, watching fireworks go off, which I can imagine some solo drummers would be like. It's really, I saw Will do this thing last year, and he released a solo LP, and it's devastating, actually. It's beautiful to see live. Oh. Maybe he should go second, actually.
Thank you so much for giving us so much of your time.
Pleasure.
We're going to have a listen now to a piece called Meditation. Any particular story about this one that you've
got? Yeah, I got the composer's name wrong on the album cover. It was by Gabriel Fauré, but it's actually by Jules Massenet, which my mother noticed, but none of the reviewers have yet. The controversy continues.
Well, maybe it's a different version.
It's a very famous classical violin piece to play.
It is indeed. I was actually doing the classical show a couple of weeks ago, and I popped that on because I just love it. So we're going to hear the Julian Wilson version now. Thank you so much, Julian. Have a very quick trip up to Bennett's Lane tonight.
Thanks, Dave. I'll run up and hope to see you again soon. Thanks very much.
Thank you very
me.
Much.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.